Hey there. It's the Main Quest podcast. It's the new intro here to soothe you here in the airwaves. You know what it is. It's the podcast of the year edition of the show. And that's all because of you, baby, making this the podcast of the year. There's a couple other people, very special people, that make this the podcast of the year. And that is the patrons. And if you would like to support the show, just like the people I'm about to name off here, you can go to patreon.com/themainquest. So first we've got Eric Guess, Zero Sam, Kayla Jackson, Chris from A Novel Console, Ryan Player One, Van Fernal, Chris Copleen, Hank Parker, Pro Bass Fisher, Poppy the Mask Keaton, Dave Jackson, and Ashton. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. Once again, cannot do this without you guys. There's an echo in here. Can't do this without you guys. Really appreciate you guys supporting the show. And so, yeah, what do we have here? We have Donkey Kong Classics. This aired originally on May 24th, 2021. And as things would go, this is kind of like this is kind of when I was grasping what the show really kind of was. There's an incredibly awkward intro. I guess all my intros are awkward, right? I mean, it also doesn't help that I was still kind of like explaining the concept of the show at the beginning here for like the new listeners and stuff, which honestly is a little ancillary at this point, because at the end of the day, like, this is just a retro gaming podcast. So, I cover retro games, right? But I guess the explanation kind of helps when people are kind of like, why is this guy covering like Vegas Dream and Poltergeist? So I guess explaining the concept kind of helps. Considering I'm covering games that nobody even really wants to talk about. But I guess that's kind of where I butter my bread, right? And, I trust you guys. I trust my audience. I trust the new listeners coming into this. You don't need to know precisely what the concept is really to enjoy the show anyway. Though when I do go on other podcasts, I still tend to divulge that this show is quite personal in regards to my history with the games that I am talking about. But Donkey Kong Classics, right? This episode, I'm incredibly proud of it, because I had to talk about Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong, but also, I talk about the very early history of Nintendo, and then I talk about the follow-up to this game and its release as a collection with Donkey Kong. It's a lot of stuff. It was a lot of work to basically make sure all of the notes that I took made sense. And also, it's a solo show. That's a lot of load to carry than just talking about Super Mario Brothers or Zelda when, I had a guest on. But I made it work, because normally when I go into an episode like this, when I know I need to start the research process and take notes, I am racking my brain with nervous anxiety, trying to get the details right. And when I started recording the episode, for the first time, I really didn't feel that way, which is funny because I still do get like that sometimes. I still get really nervous before recording, but I remember it just wasn't there. This is probably one of the most concise episodes, and I was so proud of it. And you guys took notice. People took notice, and I'm really happy with the outcome of it. It is one of my most popular episodes, and I'm just really happy about it. I'm happy people love it. And if this is your first time hearing it, I hope you like it too. Welcome back to another episode of the Main Quest podcast. This is, of course, the number one retro gaming podcast to ever be featured in Maxim's Hot 100.
I am, of course, your host for today and your host for all the past and upcoming shows, Keith. Hey, how are you guys doing? If it's your first episode, I'm playing just about every game I can remember having played growing up, and I'm replaying all of them and trying to decide if they still hold up today. I'm talking about stuff like the story, graphics, music, little stuff that doesn't even really count, like who looks worse, Pauline Sprite or Princess Toadstool Sprite from that first Super Mario Brothers game. When all is said and done, I'm just trying to talk about these games as thoroughly as I can and have a little fun doing so. And so usually I start the show by talking to you guys, monologuing, if you will. And I'm looking at these notes. This is just, it's going to be a very long episode. So I'm just going to get right into it. I mean, I really don't have anything to say. I was going to complain about Twitter. I don't really have a complaint about Twitter per se. It's more of the companies that I'm following that I have a problem with. But it's like, who doesn't complain about that kind of stuff? You've probably all heard it before. And I could complain about the weather. It's really fucking hot right now. It's like the first couple of 90 degree days that we've had here in Wisconsin so far. So I'm also exhausted. It's pretty late. A lot later than I would usually record. It's kind of cooled off a little bit outside. I've got all the windows closed now, so I feel a little bit better about having them closed because it's colder out. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Let's just jump into it. I'm talking about Donkey Kong Classics. So first of all, you might be coming into this episode like, what the fuck is Donkey Kong Classics? What is going on? Well, Donkey Kong Classics is a compilation cart, so technically I'm going to be covering two games today. So I just want to make that clear. The game that I'm talking about contains both Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. So my personal history with Donkey Kong Classics, well, with all of it, is somewhat murky. You know, looking at the box art, I definitely remember seeing this around the house when I was a kid. As far as both of the games on this thing goes, you know, it's just the same story it's been for the past couple of episodes. And I just really sucked at them when I was younger. I have played Donkey Kong throughout my life, though, and I've definitely come back to it multiple times. But I can't say that for Donkey Kong Jr. For me, Donkey Kong is a game I'll see in the arcades, and I'll step up and play it for maybe 15 minutes and kind of be done with it, which is mostly due to its difficulty, which I'll say right now, the arcade version of Donkey Kong is much harder than the NES port that I'm talking about today. Same goes for Donkey Kong Jr. as well. But also, Donkey Kong never really drew me in when I was a kid, and I never really thought there was anything truly special about it. And you know who I'm going to blame that on? I'm going to blame it on Mario. Because by the time I started playing Donkey Kong, I was already playing the first three Mario Brothers games. And as a stupid, impressionable child, I mistook Donkey Kong for a Mario game. It still kind of feels like a Mario game, but I'm going to get into that later. So I just kind of thought as a child that Nintendo's inclusion of their mascot, I was like, oh, this is just kind of like a prototype Mario game, a lesser entry of the Mario series. Then I guess also another part of this is because when Rare rebooted the franchise with Donkey Kong Country, my love for that game meant that I was just automatically way too cool and hip to play this fucking Donkey Kong arcade game that was made for grandpas. The Donkey Kong I know carries a boombox around and has his little monkey cousin or something, he flips his hat backwards. And then, like, his sister plays guitar in the second one. Screw this arcade stuff. Play it loud. And that's just sort of what I thought about the original game until I wasn't an asshole kid and recognized what Donkey Kong actually did for video games. So where do I even start with a game like this? This episode contains two pretty important games with different development behind them. And I honestly don't know where to even begin. This is one of those episodes where I don't even know if I'm going to be able to tell you anything you probably don't even already know about these games. So it's going to be a rough going from here on out, but I'll try to keep it as brief as possible, and hopefully I can make sense of all of this in a way that you guys can follow along. First of all, Donkey Kong Classics is a compilation of the Donkey Kong series consisting of, again, Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. It was developed by Nintendo and is a port of the two mega successful arcade games of the same name. So we start where we always tend to start when talking about these very old arcade games. Soviet Russia. I'm yanking your chain, as the kids say. Yank. I'm yeeting your chain. I'm so fucking old. We're going to start in the 70s when Nintendo was basically a nothing company. They were nobody. And I'm sure you know that Nintendo at the time was in the business of making toys. You might also already know that Nintendo was founded in 1889 and manufactured playing cards. So by the late 70s, when Namco and Taito were starting to shift the playing field from conventional, tangible playthings to digital entertainment via arcade cabinets like Space Invaders, Bubble Bobble, and of course Pac-Man, Nintendo found themselves quickly falling behind the times. And 40 years later, seems like not much has changed. Despite what you might think, Donkey Kong isn't Nintendo's first game to hit arcade floors. They have dabbled with some releases in Japan to various success, but was completely failing at selling their machines to other markets. In the early goings, Nintendo wasn't the business-savvy company that they are today. At the time, Nintendo was actually pretty desperate, and they were on the cusp of bankruptcy if they couldn't successfully market a game worldwide. One of the first arcade games Nintendo actually released was called EVR Race. It was released in 1975 and created by Genyo Takeda, Nintendo's first ever game designer, and the game was a complete flop. Not only was it hard for people to play, but the cost to manage the machines were way too high and the machines would often break down. Their next big budget machine was Radarscope, which was also a commercial failure. Despite selling well in Japan, just behind Pac-Man, it just failed miserably to attract players in other countries. This is ultimately what put Nintendo on the ropes, and had Minoru Arakawa actually begging his father-in-law, Nintendo CEO Hiroshi Yamauchi, to help finance the next Nintendo project. If this next game failed, just like the last two, it was game over for Nintendo. You're all turning this off right now. That was the last straw. Not only did Yamauchi throw thousands of dollars at this new endeavor, but he also swung his giant donkey dong around and hit Shigeru Miyamoto right in the face with it. This project is what would eventually become Donkey Kong. Of course, we all know who the fuck Miyamoto is at this point. The man that created Mario, The Legend of Zelda. Donkey Kong would be his first game for Nintendo, and the first character he ever created for the company. So under the supervision of Gunpei Yokoi, their first move was to repurpose any old technology that they could, which is a strategy Nintendo would adopt over and over again in the 80s, as seen with the earlier episode that I just did, Punch-Out, which Donkey Kong has exact lineage to, since Punch-Out cabs were once unused Donkey Kong cabs. Since Nintendo was having such a hard time and failing so miserably at breaking out into the US market, they acquired a license to the cartoon Popeye. Donkey Kong was originally intended to be a Popeye game, with Bluto being in the spot of Donkey Kong, Popeye being Mario, and Olive Oil being Lady. But due to technical restrictions, the sprites were repurposed to what we know them to be now. The story inspiration for Donkey Kong is actually just a retelling of the love triangle between the Popeye characters. And I'm not going to go into the differences now, since I'll be talking about the story later on, but it is one of the first times a video game story was preceded by its programming, and instead of being an afterthought later on in development. So the woman that we have to save, yes, hey, if you're a typical listener, take your shot now. We are saving a princess. Well, technically, she's not a princess, just somebody Mario is banging until Toadstool comes along. But we know her as Pauline. But she didn't get this name canonically until the Game Boy version of Donkey Kong was released in 1994. Until then, she was just referred to as Lady. Yeah. Hey, we're talking this one up to tone-deaf and sensitive Japanese culture. Donkey Kong was literally made by fucking four dudes in a small room smoking three packs of Lucky Strikes in a half hour. And no shade to Pauline, man. She was hustling back in the days, you know? She thrown around as like, Mario's the scumbag, not Pauline. All right, so we're just going to get that straight right away. Pauline was just doing her thing, being an independent woman, working fucking hard. She gets snapped up by a monkey. You know, I probably would have left Mario too. I'd be like, dude, what the fuck? You let me get captured by your pet? We'll get into that later. Miyamoto stated that for the antagonist name, he wanted something that would mean stubborn gorilla. In Japan, donkey conveyed silliness or stubbornness, while Donkey Kong was slang for gorilla. Ultimately, culminating in the name, stupid ape in Japan. As for Mario,
it's Mama Luigi.
Mama Luigi? Miyamoto didn't see a future for the then carpenter, turned referee, turned plumber, turned doctor, turned scientist, turned tennis star. So Miyamoto just named him Mr. Video, who he planned on being the Alfred Hitchcock of video games, as Miyamoto would go on to state. Within the company, though, the employees were lovingly referring to him as Jumpman, and this name actually became canon in the US releases of the game. But back at Nintendo of America, the still struggling company had a property manager, Mario Segal. I should probably stop doing that. I'm probably offending somebody who Nintendo, you know, either lovingly or sarcastically named the carpenter in Donkey Kong, which is how we get the name for the first time ever, Mario. So let's fast forward a little bit, because I still have a lot to talk about as far as Donkey Kong Jr. goes, and I still have to actually talk about the games here. So we're going to skip all that. So the two game cabinets were shipped to the Seattle area, where Nintendo of America's headquarters resided, as the arcade owners noticed a consistent 120 to 130 plays per day They quickly ordered more, and Japan began making the quick conversions of radar scope motherboards and sending them over to the US, where Donkey Kong ended up selling almost 70,000 cabinets in 1981. The game was ported to the Famicom in 1983 as a launch game and wouldn't hit North America until late 1986. Here in the States, that put this as the console's 19th release, which kind of brings me back to my earlier point when I talked about my personal history with the game. Now, if you go back and listen to the episode I did on Super Mario Brothers, I talked about how absolutely legendary and important the game is for what we have now. Donkey Kong is important since it's the game that's saved Nintendo's ass, but Super Mario Brothers is iconic because it saved the gaming market entirely. Games like Super Mario Brothers, Sega's Outrun, Rygar, and Kid Icarus were cutting-edge video games at the time. It all just seemed like a nice, fresh restart for the entire gaming industry. So by the time the Donkey Kong cartridge hit store shelves in those short 5 years, it already seemed outdated compared to everything else. And then you have to consider the changes made to the game. Due to hardware limitations, the graphics were compressed to ease up on storage space, and Nintendo actually cut out an entire stage from the game, along with the opening cinematic of Donkey Kong climbing the girders in the opening stage. The song that typically played during that cinematic was then placed at the title screen instead. But despite these changes, the game sold very well, and by the time we were able to play this game at home, Donkey Kong already had two other sequels, the second game being Donkey Kong Jr. And well, Donkey Kong Jr. will never be the legendary game its predecessor was, it's still kind of important to the history of Nintendo. So back in 1982 in Soviet Russia, the idea, we're in Japan, don't worry, the idea of a sequel wasn't really fleshed out. Most developers would just make the game with little to no innovations made from that first one, and would in turn just raise the difficulty. Sequels were more often thought as of something for people who have conquered the previous game and need more of a challenge. And when Donkey Kong Jr. was released in 1982, it kind of came as a surprise that this just wasn't a slight variation of the game that had already existed. Instead, Nintendo took a gamble on creating an entirely new game. Donkey Kong Jr. was developed and published by Nintendo and had the same crew from the previous game, Shigeru Miyamoto, Gunpei Yokoi, and Yukio Kaneoka. And even though mechanically the games do run parallel to each other, if you just boil them down to their running and jumping mechanics, the two protagonists couldn't be or control any more differently. Mario is now the antagonist of the game, which is the first and only time Mario is ever a villain. Thank you for bringing that up earlier, Paul, in Super Mario Brothers. In his place, we play as Donkey Kong's child, who is eagerly climbing ropes and jumping across gaps to rescue his father. Again, I'm going to talk about story a little bit later, but this kind of makes sense canonically. I can talk. Now, where or how Donkey Kong Jr. is conceived are questions that are better explored in another episode, just like, you know, where did Bowser Jr. really come from? Bowser Jr. and Donkey Kong Jr., one in the same. They have to have like a buddy cop video game. Make that game, Nintendo. Come on, make it an RPG too. Make it fun. Back before Nintendo had their own in-house development team, a lot of their games were outsourced when it came to converting their artistic concepts into circuitry. And this was the case for Donkey Kong, but not the case for the sequel. Nintendo took the hardware for Donkey Kong and reverse engineered it themselves, making it the first game to be internally developed by Nintendo. Donkey Kong Jr. was released in Japan for the Famicom alongside Donkey Kong as a launch title in 1983. Ugh. That doesn't taste good. That's just pure sodium. I had a fucking BLT earlier. It's too much salt and bacon. I don't know if I can eat bacon anymore. Like, I can eat bacon. I just don't know if I want to. I think I'm done with bacon. Bacon weirds me out too. The whole bacon culture that happened in like between 2015 to 2017. It's fucking weird. People are fucking weird. What am I talking about? Oh, the release dates. So yeah, Donkey Kong Jr., Japan, 1983, and it came to the U.S. a few months before Donkey Kong in 1986. Between both games, they have been ported to ColecoVision, Atari 2600, Atari 7800, and television, Game & Watch, which I think is the first time I ever mentioned that on this show.
What's that one called?
A watch?
Yeah, the
Nintendo. Are you talking about Game & Watch?
Yeah. There's a Punch-Out Game & Watch.
GameCube, the Wii, Wii U Virtual Console, the NES Mini, and the Nintendo Switch Online service. The compilation cart, Donkey Kong Classics, again, bringing it back, was actually never released in Japan, but came to our patriotic shores in 1988 and hit Europe in 1989. Both games were followed up with a sequel, Donkey Kong 3. Donkey Kong, right? That's a game, man. Donkey Kong is a video game. It's just like, it's one of those games where, as far as the gameplay goes, I'm not even really sure how much time I should even spend talking about it. There are a few games on this show where I'm like, hey guys, we've played this, right? Like, you played Donkey Kong. Have you played Donkey Kong? You played Donkey Kong? All right, cool. Yeah, I played Donkey Kong. I just played it for the show, but I played it before this, like plenty of other times. You played Donkey Kong too? They played Donkey Kong out there also, so. I mean, we've all played this at least a few dozen times, right? And the same goes for like games like Tetris, Pac-Man, Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong. You know, we know how to play these games, right? As far as the story goes, I did skirt around the story of the game in the history. I did look up each game's manual separately, but then I remembered that I am in fact supposed to be talking about the compilation card specifically. And the manual that comes with that literally just cram both of the existing manuals into one manual, so it's all exactly the same. So, story for Donkey Kong goes, quote, Can you save Pauline from the clutches of Donkey Kong? So that's a weird problem. So I did all this research. I did where they said Pauline. They said Pauline wasn't canonical until the Game Boy game. And here we are in the manual, and it says Pauline, and it's 1988. Yokey dokey. You know what? I can't have this. I'm gonna go all Google here. I'm just gonna use my phone. I don't wanna fuck with my laptop. Where did Pauline get her name? A lot of my research for this game came from actually King of Kong and Retronauts. So if my uncle, Jeremy Parrish, is wrong, I'm going to have a long letter to write him. I didn't even talk about Billy Mitchell, by the way. I was going to talk about him on the Pac-Man episode, but I also felt like I was strapped for time on that one. So similar situation here. With this episode. Also, fuck Billy Mitchell. So it says here, in the West, the name Pauline first appeared in licensed media after the original arcade release of Donkey Kong and was eventually used in the NES version. However, in Japan, she was still known as Lady in the Famicom version. Because the name Pauline was not used uniformly until her return in the Game Boy game, where she was redesigned. The original version of the character and redesigned version were treated as separate characters in certain media in Japan, with the original version of the character being known as Lady and the new version being known as Pauline. Although the two incarnations are never shown together, This is likely due to the fact that Pauline was described as a new heroine when Donkey Kong for Game Boy was released in Japan, despite the fact that Shigeru Miyamoto and game director Masayuki Kamiyama acknowledged in an interview that Pauline was pretty blah, 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 blah. Okay, so it all just comes down to weird localization stuff, I guess. So what I previously pointed out in my research still stands. I almost fucking just shit myself. You have no idea the lengths that I have gone to make sure all of my notes were on point for this one. I was like, dude, heart attack. I could feel your little greasy fingers typing me a tweet after this episode airs. just fucking calm down, deep breaths. So anyway, the rest of the story reads, can you save Pauline from the clutches of Donkey Kong? Help Mario scale the construction site to rescue his girlfriend, Pauline. Dodge the fireballs and barrels that Donkey Kong hurls down the ramps and ladders to thwart your efforts. Not very interesting, right? Well, the bigger picture is that Miyamoto has said himself that Donkey Kong is actually Mario's pet that has managed to escape the circus, and in an act of retaliation for the harm that the circus has caused him, Donkey Kong kidnaps Mario's girlfriend. Now, canonically, Mario is still referred to as a carpenter, so I'm not really sure what in the hell that has to do with a circus. Like, what is he doing there? I mean, I guess he could have been contracted to make sure the tents stay up, but also, his 800-pound gorilla is there. Do carpenters tend to have exotic animals as like a hobby? Do they do that? I don't personally know any carpenters, so I can't even ask.
What I'm going to do. So if you don't like the way I talk, there's a delete button on social media. Please get your ass off my pages and make some room for the 5,000 people that are in line waiting to get on here.
Should move on to Donkey Kong Jr. Donkey Kong Jr. is on a mission to rescue Donkey Kong from Mario's cage. I'm sorry. It's Mario's cage. It makes it sound like there's some inanimate cage that has come to life and is on a rampage. I don't know, guys. I'm fucking tired. I'm losing my mind. My mind is fucking mush. Anyway, jump from vine to vine, collecting bonus fruits and avoiding lethal snap jaws. Then move on to tougher stages, jump platforms, dodge sparks of electricity, and watch out for those birds. Use your skills to get the key that will set your papa free. And this works, right? Again, it's the first and only time Mario, the Mario, is labeled a villain. Or is he? Is he? Maybe we're playing the villain now. That's right. Miyamoto did the same thing Neil Druckmann did with The Last of Us 2. Moral relativism, motherfucks. Mario rescues Pauline, has to return Donkey Kong to the circus, and Donkey Kong Jr. steps up to help his father break out once again. I know which side that I stand on. Fuck Mario. I've lost it. I've fucking lost it. The show has broken me. This fucking show has broken me. It wasn't Battletoads. It was Donkey Kong. We can all agree on, like, the circus does really fucking terrible, horrific things to animals, right? Like, I just listened to a podcast with a guy that runs like a sanctuary for fucking donkeys and mules and stuff. What do you want to call them? I can't think of the word right now. Equestrian? Is that it? I don't even know if I said that right. Anyway, turn this podcast off if you're a Mario fan. Mario's a terrible human being. The show's not for you. I won't miss you. I always knew Luigi was the better brother. I should stop. I got to cut all that out. This episode is going way too long. I'm not even talking about anything anymore. I do want to at least get to the gameplay of Donkey Kong Jr. because I feel like a lot of people may have never played that game. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Personally, this might have been the second or third time I've ever played Donkey Kong Jr. So I don't know. Maybe we're all in the same boat here. The only real mechanics Donkey Kong and DK Jr. share are running and jumping. Again, Nintendo didn't rest on their laurels with this one and follow up Donkey Kong with more Donkey Kong. I've already talked about some Nintendo sequels on here, and we'll be getting into more as this podcast goes on. But this is something Nintendo does all the time with their first-party stuff. The first game you have Mario running from fireballs and jumping over barrels. Intentional or not, as a human character, Mario's abilities are limited. DK Jr. can also do these things, but the levels are much more vertical than the first game. Mario's typically moving from left to right and needs the aid of various lifts and ladders to get him to the top of each stage. DK Jr., however, has the strength of a gorilla and can climb various vines and swing back and forth between them to avoid flying birds, who I'm just going to assume it's eggs and not bird shit, though a bird giving birth mid-flight raises some more questions than if it were just a bird taking a shit. You also got the first experience of appearance of what seems to be, it kind of looks like the Claptrap enemies from Donkey Kong Country. But for the most part, the majority of DK Jr. has you maneuvering around each stage without touching the ground. The introductory stage kind of eases you into that familiar platforming, but moving from vine to vine is where the gameplay is. But does it feel as seamless as the first game? No, I don't think so. I think there's some problems. DK Jr. is much bigger than Mario, and so there are more animations to DK Jr. sprites that actually make it a little hard to tell where, like, his hitbox is. Whatever hitbox he has that they use to actually have him grab onto something. For example, in the second stage, there's a spring right next to the platform that you start on, and beyond this spring, adjacent to it, is a row of other platforms. Up above, all of these platforms are vines that perpetually are rocking back and forth, or like undulating back and forth. Man, that's a callback to episode one. Demons undulate. Jumping on the spring allows you to clear the gap to the next platform while also shooting Junior high enough into the air to allow him to grab a vine. And even though that's the case, the game doesn't allow you to grab those vines. And because DK Jr. is so large, when he jumps, his sprite becomes a little larger because his limbs are so much bigger than Mario's, which that's the other problem. You know, when trying to find that delicate balance of platforming and vine grabbing, it all just seems off. The hitboxes just seem off. And perhaps it's because Nintendo was getting a little more savvy when it comes to making arcade games, because Donkey Kong isn't as much of a quarter muncher as you might think it is. I think what makes that first game as difficult as it is that the trajectory of the barrels and the path finding that the flames take are truly random. Almost every game of Donkey Kong you play will never be the same as the last. There are some tricks that I know you can utilize to try and outsmart the game, but it's almost always a gamble if it works out in your favor. And that's the fun of that first game. The feeling of satisfaction when you've truly made a risky move and you have pulled it off. DK Jr. isn't so much about the programming, but trying to precisely pull off jumps and shimmy down vines using some clunky mechanics. Whether or not this was intentional on Nintendo's part is debatable, but playing the game on the NES really kind of nullifies all of the issues that the cabinets might have, since I'm free to master the mechanics without the need of shoveling quarters into a machine. all in all, neither game is very hard in Donkey Kong Classics. Donkey Kong is very brief, especially since it's missing an entire stage. And Junior, with all four stages, is still a breeze. Yeah, it shouldn't take more than 15 or 20 minutes to beat both of them in one sitting. So I'm sitting at 45 minutes right now. It's about the length of an episode. I should be finishing up, but I have so much more here. I'm just going to combine the graphics and music section together because they are both pretty faithful when I think about it. I did mention before that the fanfare that plays at the beginning of the first stage of Donkey Kong actually just plays over the title screen, which is something I actually would have never even known had I never saw footage of the actual arcade game. Some of the sound effects in DK Jr., they actually sound a little better on the NES, in my opinion. Maybe I'm weird. They just sound more arcade-y than the actual arcade cabinet, which is, that's a weird thing to say. I don't know. I just prefer the NES version. So while, you know, there are more sound effects in the DK Jr. Arcade release, some of them to me, they just sound cheap. And, you know, in the NES version, DK Jr. is like missing the stomp of his feet when he lands on a platform, or the electronic bleeps and bloops of that third stage. It seems like Nintendo were able to zero in on the sounds that actually mattered. And the way that the games look are nearly perfect recreations. Some of the sprites are, you know, slightly less detailed, a little discolored, but like not weirdly discolored, like Donkey Kong isn't green or anything like that. And none of the graphics are just, they're not as distracting in the way that Rampage or Burger Time look like somebody tried using the spray paint brush in MS Paint to make a game. And I don't say this lightly either when I say it was very difficult to have such a large animated sprite like Donkey Kong in 1983. I just, you know, we talked about it on Punch-Out. Nintendo didn't have a lot of first-party arcade games, but when they did eventually port those over to the Famicom and the NES, they put in the work. I feel like I've done my time with some of these arcade ports on this show that should have had no business entering our homes on home consoles. So before I spoil my thoughts, I think this is actually a perfect time to wrap everything up here. So during that musical break that you just heard, I just did another once over of all my notes and everything, and I've really gone through a roller coaster of emotions trying to figure out an answer to the question, would I recommend Donkey Kong Classics in 2021? So hear me out, because honestly, I have to try and recommend both games and determine if there's some sort of value of having both on one cartridge. I'm going to kind of go over my personal history again, because it all ties in together with what I currently think. Personally, I've always thought of Donkey Kong as a Mario game. I'm younger than Donkey Kong. I grew up with Mario, and I didn't come across this until I was well into my adventures with those Mario games. So even though Donkey Kong predates my existence, I use the context and words given to me by those who were there to experience it, to try and convey how groundbreaking a game like Donkey Kong was, and to a lesser extent, its sequel. I believe I said in the Super Mario Brothers game, or episode rather, how absolutely important that game was to the industry back then, you know, saving it from the crater that Atari left, then I would have to say here that not only did we get Mario from Donkey Kong, but Donkey Kong as a whole was something entirely revolutionary that Nintendo conjured up out of complete desperation. There was nothing like Donkey Kong at the time. it's a game that I personally never really seek out. If I do happen across it in the wild and I do play it, I have generally a good time with it, but don't really give it its due. I always find myself playing for a few minutes and I'm like, yeah, that was Donkey Kong. It's definitely Donkey Kong. Having actually played it all the way through for the first time for the show and then all the research that I did, I honestly feel like I have finally gave this game the rightful chance it deserves. And after all of this, I still kind of feel the same way. Like, yeah, it's Donkey Kong. There's that monkey up there. There's the red girders. It's all there. And there's nothing bad about it. It handles a little stiff, but that's kind of to be expected with a game as ancient as this. Do I appreciate it more now that I've done this episode? Absolutely. But my personal feelings haven't really wavered either way. Donkey Kong Jr., on the other hand, it's the, well, could be quite literal, bastard child, unexpected sequel that actually didn't turn out half bad. It's, again, it's not as revolutionary as its daddy, but doesn't mean that it isn't any less meaningful. The port is very faithful with all its inherent design flaws intact. It's slightly easier, but the mechanics will fucking drive you bananas. Those first two stages. If you're still here after that first dad pun, you may as well finish it up. I'm almost done here. What DK Jr. really does is set the trajectory on what people expected from video game sequels. And that's something that's completely different until we get to the 90s and the concept of a video game sequel becomes a little more clear. Now, will I ever come back to either of these games? Probably not. If I see them at the arcade, like, maybe? But even then, I just might pass them by. Yeah, it's just kind of staring at these notes. I didn't even get into the lawsuits Nintendo got themselves into with these games. There's just so much history to be covered, and there's just no way, even if I talked about all of this, there's no way I could do these games justice just by myself. But because one of those lawsuits, we might never even see Donkey Kong Jr. in an arcade again. So, I mean, I definitely won't be playing Donkey Kong Jr. ever again. But I won't ever count out the Big Daddy DK out. So we pack both of these games together with the ability to play them side by side. Can I recommend Donkey Kong Classics in 2021? I asked it. You're still asking it, probably. What is it? I don't know. Light, not recommend. As polished, refined, and faithful these ports might be, I understand there are people that love these games. Like, they love Donkey Kong, especially. Fuck, you know what? All right. This is a main quest first. I'm going to go... Gonna go light recommend? I don't know. This is so hard on the basis alone that Donkey Kong is included on this cartridge. I'd say give it a shot to have some sort of history lesson, but I just don't know. It's neither of them are fun. They really aren't. I'm so sorry. I love Donkey Kong. The game isn't bad. It's oddly, nearly specifically as perfect of an arcade port as you can get. And I know that I've played a lot of bad arcade ports, and I've not recommended them, so I feel bad being like, light not recommend, because it is such a good port. But it's just not fun. It doesn't mean the game's fun. This might be the best arcade port. Punch-Out. I mean, this is Punch-Out, and this is like, these are the best arcade ports I've played on the show. It just Donkey Kong isn't fun. I don't know. I gotta finish this up. Light recommend. I don't know. Maybe play Donkey Kong. You guys, this has been a wild month. Honestly, I expected to hate every single game this month. You know, when I put this schedule together and saw what I had left, I was like, let's get this over with. Let's get all this fucking arcade trash out of the way so I can get to playing some fucking video games all the way up through the end of the year. But I have to say, you know, there's some bangers in here. So if you missed any of the episodes this past month, I don't know what you're doing. You made it this far into the episode. Go check those out. Punch Out was a fucking blast. I had the 512 Doctor on for that. He was fucking cool. So honored that he even wanted to join me on that episode. It's just been a fun ride here in May. But all things must come to an end, and all things must begin again next month. Paul joins me once again as we return to Transylvania to hunt down more vampires. Blah. Man, I swear. Dude, I swear. These things are harder to get rid of than roaches. You invite one vampire in the house, they all fucking think they live here. It's Castlevania 3. Dracula's Curse. Thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, I'm fucking around. I've been fucking around. I forgot the socials. You know what they are. MainQuestPod@gmail.com. The MainQuest Instagram. Twitter. Fuck Twitter. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Fucking love you guys. Can't do this shit without your support. Really means a lot. Really, thank you. And until next time, take care of yourselves.